Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you here this evening. Amen. I want to just thank everybody for joining in, for tuning in, and getting connected with us here via Facebook Live. And real quick, I just want to make a quick shout out to all the family that we have in Wheaton All Saints Hospital. Amen. Just want to thank you for joining in here this evening. We pray that you'll be blessed as you tune in with us. And how many just had a good time in the time of worship? Amen. How many had a good time that you're able just to make your own home, your living room, bedroom, wherever you find yourself, that you make that place a place of worship, where you make that place the presence of the Lord, a presence of God. Amen. Not a presence of fear or doubt, not a presence of just what the world has to offer, because how many know that at moments like these, at times like these, we need a little bit more. How many can say amen right there in your own place? Amen. Real quick, just type where you're from. We want to see where you're from. I think I've seen a couple of people from California, a couple of people from, you know, out of the States, and even here from around the surrounding cities in Wisconsin. So I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. And as Brother Jason was sharing, I've been an associate pastor for a little short period now, and it's just a blessing, to say the least. It's a privilege. I consider a real, real great honor, a privilege, under Victory Outreach International. Those joining in, we're part of a great movement. Amen. We're here locally and regionally, but also internationally. We have churches all over the world. You can look us up, as he was sharing in the announcements, through Victory Outreach International, and what God's doing all over the world with a ministry and a people. Who would have thought that God would have used the least? Amen. I would have never in a million years thought that God had a plan for my life. But here I am now, and I thank the Lord for my salvation. As Brother Jason was sharing, it's been about 10 years that I've been saved, and I really consider it 8 years serving here under Victory Outreach Milwaukee. It's been 8 years that I left the city of Chicago. If you look it up in the dictionary, it says the greatest city in the world. Amen. Just the city of Chicago. But I've grown to love Milwaukee because this is where God has me. Amen. I wouldn't have it any other way. And I always thank my beautiful family. I know she's watching. I thank my wife that has just done such a great work. Amen. And with myself and helping me, just being alongside and raising our little daughter, little Genesis. Amen. Who would have ever thought that a two-year-old can control your life? And then we have another one on the way. So keep us in prayer. We have a little boy that's coming. I think we have the name. We're not going to reveal it yet. Some people know. Praise the Lord. But and I'm just grateful. I want to give a quick shout out for all the Victory Homes. If there's some men, women, or if you came through the Victory Homes. Amen. I just find it a great privilege. And it's there, really, that the Lord shaped me. Someone once said that the first 2 years is for the home directors, and someone else commented, it's all the years is for the home directors. Amen. All those years are for me. But I want to thank the men that have been there in position. And lastly, I just want to thank my pastor, my shepherd, Pastor Charlie. Amen. My spiritual father and the Reign of Family. They come right as a package. Amen. So we just want to say we thank you, we love you, and we're here supporting you. And if you're tuning in, as Brother Jason was sharing, why don't you go ahead and grab your Bibles? I'm going to give you a minute. Get your Bibles. I encourage you and challenge you. Get your Bibles and a notebook and pen and become a student of the Word. Amen. Right? 2 Timothy 2:15, show yourself approved. Do not be ashamed, but show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. I believe the Lord gave me that one as soon as I got saved, and He just challenged me. If you're like me, I was sharing earlier with some of the guys and some of the people there that I never knew really what I wanted to do growing up. I never had any thoughts or plans. I was good at anything and everything. I always put my hands, amen, my heart into it, little knowing that God had a plan for my life. So when He stepped into my life, that scripture, amen, became something to me where I was able to really grab a hold of the Word of God. And so I challenge you. If you don't have any Bible, you can contact me and I could let you know which translation is better, which works best, which area, which commentary, thin line. I could give you all the breakdowns. Amen. I just got myself another little, I switched over to the New Translation Bible. So it's a thin line reference Bible and it's working so great and I love it. Amen. I've been on the New Living Translation for a few years. I can let you in on a little secret. Those that know, we've been going off of the Daily Walk Bible. And I think my pastor started that a few years ago. I want to say roughly about 3-4 years ago. That's called the Daily Walk Bible New Living Translation. And I pull a lot of my insight from that Bible. It has a simple little story, little quotes. And I get a lot of my thoughts just from that Bible. I haven't touched the commentary in years. I just want to receive the Word of God. With that being said, the title of this message is Building the Wall of Prayer. Building the Wall of Prayer. Here this night, I want to speak about an avenue that many of us, if you know what's going on and if you still watch the news and all that happened within this pandemic, it came and left no sooner than anything else. It got old. It's getting old right away. And there's more things that are going to happen. But building the wall of prayer, I really want to bring forth the true problem, really, not just in the world, but I dare say in the church. Because God looks for you and I responsible first. The Bible says He will judge us. He will judge the believers. And He will reward us according to our deeds. He will reward us according to what we have done, what we said, what we didn't do. And so if you're like me and you want the best from the Lord, you want to build these spiritual walls called prayer. And so here this night, I'm going to share this called the Building a Wall of Prayer. And I have a story here this night. And the story goes like this. Amen. It's not a story. It's just an analogy. Amen. So here this night, I have a question to ask you. Those that, if you're ready to come to church, how many are going to be ready when the doors open up? You have your favorite suit for all the men or for all the women. You're getting your skirts ready and you're getting your blouses. And as you get ready, you get the iron on and you begin to iron your clothes, right? How many of the men know how to iron really good and you have those skills and you show off? I know in the men's home, we always had somebody that was just the best person to iron. You give him your shirts and he would iron it for you. And when you plug in that iron, you expect it to get hot. You touch it, it gets hot, it's ready to use. And if you plug it in and it doesn't get hot, no one really says it wasn't God's plan for this iron to not get hot, right? It's designed to get hot. That's the purpose of the iron, is to get hot. My question here this morning is, does your prayer life get hot? Does your prayer life build a fire within your life where you're able to pass on that fire? The Bible says, fan the flame within your life. So my friend here this night, your flame is not really going to get bigger by this preaching. Preaching can only do so much. I believe Leonard Ravenhill said, preaching affects man, prayer affects God. So if you want to affect God here this night, there's something that's called prayer that we all have to get into. We all have different callings and different ministries, and many different people want this position and they want to come behind the pulpit. And listen, I never wanted the pulpit to this day. I don't really want to come behind the pulpit. But there's a ministry that we've all been called to. There's a ministry that all of us can get a hold of, and that ministry is the ministry of prayer. Where you don't need fancy lights or equipment. You don't need all these areas and gadgets. It's just you and God. All you need is a room, you by yourself with the Lord. And you get on your knees, you stand, you praise God. And that's all that it really takes. And that ministry needs to take a hold of our lives each and every day. Because I truly believe here this night with all my heart that if there was truly a people that were praying, we will see greater results. I believe the world wouldn't be where it's at if there was a true praying people. I know my life got touched because someone prayed for me and I prayed for the next person. So my question is, who are we praying for? Because if you want to see results, you need prayer. And here this night, how many want to see results? Amen. If you want to see results, go ahead and type amen. Once again, I hope you're ready for this message. It's just a simple message on an area called prayer. Building the wall of prayer. Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Let's go ahead and read. It says, these memoirs are from Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Milwaukee. They were just traveling, amen. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. So they also had a virus and things were going on. And he wanted to find out, hey, how's the people doing? They said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. In other words, the stimulus check didn't help out that much. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, this is where everything comes out. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted. I think that word is lost its translation, fasting. Not that many people have come to this area. It's become like lost. I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, and this is how Nehemiah prayed, and this is what I want to get into. He prayed, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. Notice that he noticed who his God was. He didn't come any ordinary way. He didn't just say, okay, thank you, Jesus. Are there any Mexicans watching, the Mexicanos, the culture, the Mexican culture? They say, mi Diosito, Diosito. I'm like, no, man, I serve a big God. I don't serve no little God. Nehemiah said, my God, my great and awesome God. Hear this night, are there any that approach the area of prayer already knowing who your God is? Amen. It says, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. Listen to my prayer. So he gets God's attention. He's coming to the Lord with a boldness. He says, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day. More than just once, more than just in the morning. He's saying night and day. Why? He knows there's a need. He says, listen, look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. It's not just for himself. He's gone past the area of self. How many need help getting past the area of self? Come on, talk to me. I can't see you. Comment. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. Nehemiah got past the area of self. If you want to pray, pray for someone else and pray that person through. If you have a problem, pray that problem. And I believe maybe that's why you're still in that storm or in that trial. You're praying. How many have been praying, God, I pray for this person, I pray for this, and I pray for that. And God says, I can fix it, but I got to fix you first. So he allows the trial to happen because that's how he makes us greater. How many want to get greater for the Lord? Amen. My prayer is not just to get greater at preaching or greater at other things. My prayer is to get greater in the Lord in the area of prayer, to get closer to the Lord. He goes on to say, I confess that we have sinned against you. Raise your hand if you have sinned right there. Everybody raise your hand. Amen. We've all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nehemiah understood this. I confess that we have sinned against you. He not only understood, he confessed. We're going to get into it in a little bit. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. So I think this night it's safe to say I'm talking to a bunch of sinners. Praise the Lord, right? The Bible says that, not me. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. He's reminding God, almost as if God forgets. But he does, and it's for a reason. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hands are your servants. Verse 11. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Here this night, what do we delight in? Do we delight in honoring the Lord? Or do we honor TV and Netflix? That always comes up every time I come up here, man. We got to stop watching Netflix. Cancel that subscription and then give it to United We Can. Says, oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. In those days, I was the king's cupbearer. Then he goes on to say, oh, in those days, I was the king's cupbearer. Right there where you're at, close your eyes. Pray with me here this night. If you're next to somebody, just touch hands and agree. Father, right now, by the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you. We thank you for this night. We thank you for technology that we're able to stay connected. Lord, that we're able to get a hold of your presence, to worship you, Lord God, to lift our hands, to praise your name, to exalt your name. And here this night, that is what we do. We approach the throne of grace with a boldness. And I pray this night, not just for this message, I pray for those tuning in, those hearing the message, Lord God. I ask here this night, my prayer is allow them to hear the voice behind the voice. Allow them, Lord God, to be in tune and step with your spirit. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you give me the words that are needed of those watching for families, Lord God, that they may have a personal need that only you know about. Father, I ask of your blessing upon this time, most of all, your anointing, Lord God, as we pray for your people, for your nation, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Well, here this night, once again, we thank you for tuning in. Amen. If you have 1 second, tag somebody, invite somebody, because it's going to get good. We're going to speak about this area called prayer. And I like speaking about this area called prayer because to me it's the most vital part. And I know that we need prayer. How many can say amen right there in your houses? How many can say that this is the area that we can always grow in? That we can always grow in this area of prayer. And as I think about prayer and what prayer is, and I think about why we need prayer, especially in the time we live in, especially within these moments, we don't need any more time off. We don't need any more stimulus checks. Hello. We don't need all these other things. Sad to say, not even the cure for the virus at times can fix our lives, because we need the cure for this area called sin. Has been paid on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. But as we know that answer, to continue and apply the answer, we must wake up each and every morning to this area called prayer, because it's a relationship with the Lord that keeps us. And my friend, here this night, if you want to continue to go forth, because I believe there's a people that want to continue and go forth. I believe I'm speaking to those that are logging in that you say, you know what, I am tired of the ordinary. I am tired of not receiving God's favor. I am tired of just going through life. You need to get into this area that's called prayer. Because here this night, many things happen. And we see all this that's going on throughout the news. We see everything and what the president is saying and what other people are saying. But I want to know what God is saying. And to know what God is saying, we have to spend time with the Lord. And it's a challenge and it's not easy. Otherwise, the whole churches would be full. We wouldn't be in this mess. It's almost like the Lord saying, I need to get their attention. And that's what happened within this story. If you're not familiar, I know a few of us are familiar with the book of Nehemiah. He's finished by saying, in those times, I was the king's cupbearer. He wasn't in Jerusalem. In other words, he wasn't in God's promised land. They were scattered among enemy territory. How many have been scattered here this night? Scattered in a jail cell, scattered on drugs, scattered out on the streets, scattered in prostitution, scattered with a needle, scattered because they weren't obeying God's commands. They weren't obeying God's word. And listen, hear this now. We may find ourselves in the comfort of our home, but we have to be grateful for those that went before us. In this ministry, we believe in the area where the young generation, the gang, the God's anointed now generation, they don't have to go through that process of experiencing the world. They don't have to go through the area of experiencing what the old generation went through. It's called prevention. We believe in preventing those areas within their lives, but it only comes through an area called prayer. Because we're the ones who are now paving the way. We're the ones now who the mantle has been handed to us or before us. And it's on us. And how are we going to carry this vision? Because yes, our calling is to reach the drug addict, the lost, the down and out, the hurting. But in order to keep doing that, my friend, we need this area that's called prayer. Because apart from prayer, we can't do anything. And Nehemiah found himself scattered in enemy territory, in the land of Babylon, in the land of Persia, where the king was there. Not Babylon, the king of Persia was there. And as all was taking place, he was in the comfort of his own home. Much like you and I, we're in the comfort of our own home. Many of us were just going to go back, maybe to business as usual, turn off, and okay, what's next? But there's news going on that there's a hurting and dying people out there. And that's where Nehemiah found himself. He had everything he wanted. He had luxury, he had prestige, he had money, he had a Mercedes-Benz. He had the fanciest clothes, the best shoes. For all the women, the best purses. What do they call them? Red bottom heels. He could have anything and everything at his disposal. He was the king's cupbearer, armor bearer, so to say. But when he got a hold of the news of what was going on in Jerusalem, when he got a hold of that news, the knowledge that the walls were torn down, it did something within his life. And there's a lot of news that goes forth, and news of what's going to happen, and news if the church is going to open up. I mean, my friend, the church never closed. As far as I know, I still tell people about the Lord. As far as I know, I still tell people about Jesus. As far as I know, I still share my testimony. As far as I know, I still pray for somebody when they need prayer. As far as I know, we are the church. It never closed down. Just because we can't go to a building, all right, your house should become the church. Hear this now. Your house should become a house of worship. Hear this now. Your house should become a house of prayer. Hear this now, because that is the true church. Amen. When you hear the news, what happens within your life? When you hear that news of what's going on and what people are doing, what's going on in the outside world. We tuned in to our World Conference online. I know a few of us, how many tuned in to the World Conference? And it was a spiritual blessing. It was just a feeding of God's Word, a feeding of God's presence. And I believe John Hagee is the one that said that every single day in America, 4,000 children are aborted. Every single day. But yet we hear this news and nobody bats an eye. Nobody cares. I mean, if you know statistics and everything that goes on. I shared last time, every year in America, around the world, every single year around the world, 160,000 Christians are martyred every single year around the world. But yet you and I are in the comfort of our homes, receiving the gospel. It's not that difficult to let somebody know who Jesus is. Amen. It's not that difficult when you go to the store or pray for somebody and meet the need. It's not that difficult to just go out and see the need. But I believe our biggest enemy, especially in America, is conformity. We're just too comfortable. We begin to battle with ourselves instead of battling with the enemy. I believe Pastor Ed, my wife posted that quote. Pastor Ed's the one that said if we spent the same amount of energy fighting the devil than we did fighting ourselves, we'd have more victories. But too many times we get caught up in the fleshly way of thinking, not knowing we're in a spiritual battle. The Bible says, be strong in the day of the Lord. Then it goes on to say, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Nehemiah knew this. Nehemiah understood this. I'm going to share three aspects within this area of prayer. And I want to really bring out how to rebuild those, how are building the walls of prayer. I'm just going to bring out three different aspects within this Nehemiah's prayer, and I want to speak about building our personal walls of prayer, because I really believe, hear this now, if you call yourself a Christian, if you've been saved by grace, if you've been redeemed, if you call yourself part of Victory Outreach, I believe you need to have something called a prayer life. Amen. A devotion life. If it's 5 minutes, every day, 10 minutes, a place you call your own. where no one can get to but just you and Jesus. Every single day I'm grateful for our victory homes that we get to wake up and pray together, keep ourselves accountable. I don't keep them accountable. They keep me accountable. And I have to be in prayer. They have to see me in prayer. They have to see me on my knees. They have to see me depending and relying upon God on an area called prayer. I'm going to share three aspects and to challenge us to build our prayer walls. Amen. How many are ready just to receive? I'm going to run through these. And I really just want us to grab a hold of what prayer does. The first aspect as we look at this area called or building our prayer walls is the first aspect. Number one is who prayed. We're going to look at who prayed. And that's very vital. It's very important because it paints a picture on a prayer life. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4. Chapter 1 verse 4 reads like this. When I heard this, Nehemiah speaking, and again, speaking about the news, there was broken walls in the city of Jerusalem. Now you have to understand this represented God's city. And hear this now, my friend, you represent God's vessel. You represent God's chosen people, God's chosen possession. 2 Peter verse 1:9, it reads, you are God's chosen possession. You are a royal priesthood, God's very own special possession. You've been called out of darkness into light. And Nehemiah, when he heard this, the man of God, are there any men or women of God listening here this night? Do you call yourself a man of God, a woman of God? Have you been separated? How many have been taken out of darkness here this night? How many used to be in the world? How many used to party? But now the saying goes, there ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. Because the Holy Ghost party don't stop. The Lord is the one that can feed us like no other. Nehemiah said, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. I mean, my question is, what gets your attention here this night? My question is, what makes us think a little bit here this night? Because when I hear people talking and when I hear people arguing or saying other things, what gets my attention is we should focus our attention on what God is doing, not what the enemy's doing. And Nehemiah was focusing on the need. He was a praying man. It says, in fact, for days. I mean, we could just stop there. He said, for days I mourned and fasted, not one day, not half a day. He said, for days I mourned and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. Nehemiah was a praying man. What does this mean? It means he understood God's ways. It means he cared more about others than he did himself. I believe it's Philippians chapter 2 verse 4. It says, consider others higher than yourself. I mean, that's a great standard to live by. That's a great principle to live by. But Paul understood this when he wrote the book of Philippians, because he had seen the saving power of Jesus Christ. He had come to know the one that rescued his life. He had come to know the one that stepped, the Bible says, into a miserable life and rescued him out of the pits of hell and entered into his life. And he came to know the one that rescued him. Nehemiah was a praying man. And this means a lot to you and I. Because there's some things that you can only get done through prayer. There's things that can never get done apart from prayer. There are people who mean to do well. There are people who want to help you out, but there's only one that gave his life for you. There's only one person that died on the cross for you. And that's why Nehemiah knew who he was praying to. That's why Nehemiah was a praying man. Nehemiah was a man of vision. We should all memorize Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. It's only the King James Version that renders it, where there's no vision, people perish. I mean, hear this now, what is our vision? What is your hopes and dreams? What is it that you want to attain? What is it that wakes you up? What is it that doesn't at times let you fall asleep at night? What is the vision that God has given you here this night? Because we do have a vision. an international vision all over the world that's called us to reach treasure out of darkness. And listen, my friend, that's the only reason why we're here, because someone decided to answer the vision. Someone decided to say yes to God. Nehemiah was a man of vision. And I believe here this night, the Lord is still looking and searching. Are there any men of God or women of God with vision here this night? There's a saying that comes to mind of how the Lord had vision, how we need to have vision. There's difference. There's a difference between just seeing and looking. There's a difference between just seeing and ordinary and looking to see what God has for your life. That saying goes, is someone else's from a book. It says the Pharisees looked at Peter and saw an ordinary man. Jesus saw Peter. And he had seen a man who was able to preach and save 3,000 in his first sermon because he had vision. The Pharisees can only look, but Jesus saw with vision. And hear this not, are we looking with vision? Do we have the vision within our lives? I mean, does it motivate us? Does it drive us? Does it carry us on? It should make us sacrifice. It should make us committed. It should make us go a little bit longer. He understood it was God's plan to restore his chosen people. Not only did he see the need, but he met the need. I believe that's a dying aspect within our ministry. We need more men and women who not only see the need, but that meet the need. Amen. We don't need people to point out the problems. Listen, we know there's problems that are there. We need people that are going to fix the problems. They're going to bring solutions. That comes when you have a vision. That comes when you see the need. That comes when you've been spending time in prayer. That comes when you're able to see by faith and not by sight. That comes when God's been grabbing a hold of your life and you're able to say, listen, I have a little bit of faith. I've been spending some time with the Lord and I know what God needs within my life, and whatever it takes to get it done, I'm here to do the work. Because he was a man of prayer. He was able to build the spiritual prayer walls. I believe that God is looking for men and women of action. We may not know how to do it. We may not know how to do it all, but we have to know who we're called, that we're called of God. We have to know that we're rescued, that we're redeemed, that we're restored. I mean, hear this not. I believe I'm speaking to a people that have been rescued, that have been redeemed, that have been restored, that have been pulled out. I believe I'm speaking to a people that have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus here this night. Are there any people that have been rescued by grace here this night? I mean, we were doing action in the world. We didn't get tired in the world. You didn't just go one way and quit. You didn't just go from one house party and then just stop going to the next one. You called to the next house party. You went to the next bar. You went to the next club. You got into a fight. You got into another fight. And you kept going. And all of a sudden, it comes to Christianity and we just stop. All right, what happened to who we were? What happened to the action we put for the devil? What happened to all the work we put in the world? It was simple for me when I got saved. I came to my pastor. I said, hey, pastor, I mean, I wasn't that crazy in the world. But the one thing that I did do is I put in some work. I knew how to work. To this day, I'm still working. I got a brag of money that I'm able to share this, right? Because our pastor's, he got the house. Everybody knows about it. He's got the house right there in Germantown. And he's been working on it for a while. And he's been going with the guys. And he's been remodeling. And a long time ago, I shared that throughout, I don't know how much you can move the camera. We got the camera girl on spot. She's ready. But, you know, there's a beautiful altar. There's beautiful carpet. And a long time ago, we tore down the old altar. So I was there to tear it down and to rebuild it back up. And then guess who installed the carpet? Praise the Lord. Thank God that the Lord was able to take me through a process where I learned that. There's big projectors behind me. Nice projectors side by side. Guess who was able to keep their hands involved in the projectors? Did I know how to lay them up? No, I was just faithful, willing, obedient. Amen. There's the screens, the big projectors. We were on a ladder that everyone was scared to climb the ladder because it was in the last peak and it was unsafe. And there was no one that wanted to do it. So guess who got nominated to do it? long time ago, we redid the roof. We tore down the old shingles and we put new ones in. I've never done roofing before, but Pastor said, if anyone's available and if anyone can help, we need your help. And I was just there after my regular job. I believe one time it was 9 o'clock at night, no light, darkness. And Pastor goes, it might rain tomorrow. We need somebody just to finish the last stretch. And I said, I'll be right there, Pastor. We had flashlights. I think Brother Jason was there. And we just nailed away for in case the rain came. When we purchased the school, I was able to go next door. So I kept my hands at everything. But the one thing that I wasn't able to get into yet was our pastor's house. It's being remodeled and things were being changed. And I was in and out and doing this and, you know, ministry. And I wasn't able to get in there yet. And Pastor said, I need the flooring done. That's where you come in. So now I'm able to have a bragging moment and say, I've kept my hands at almost everything that's involved within this church. Amen. I don't know how I went there. Why did I go there? Amen. Rebuilding our walls, being men of action, men and women of action. We don't have to know how to do everything. We just have to be available. We need to know that there's personal walls that need to be rebuilt. There's family walls that need to be rebuilt. There's spiritual walls that need to be rebuilt. Some are physical walls. Some are church walls. But are there any that are willing to rebuild some walls here this night? Nehemiah was a man of sacrifice. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 21 through 23. It says, we worked early and late from sunrise to sunset, and half the men were always on guard. I also told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem. That way they and their servants could help with guard duty at night and work during the day. Goes on to say, during this time, none of us, not I, nor my relatives, nor my servants, nor the guards who were with me, ever took off our clothes. We carried our weapons with us all at all times, even when we went for water. Nehemiah was a man of action. He was a man of sacrifice. He was a man of work. Prayer takes work. There's a saying that a long time ago I read, I'm never going to forget it. It said, prayer is work. And I looked at it, and this was in the early stages. I was running our victory homes. For those that you know, you may not know, our victory homes consist of men that want to come in. We have a men's home and a women's home that are separate. My wife and I just run the men's home for now. But it consists of men wanting to come in and change their lives, and not just any men. Men that have been backgrounds, rough backgrounds, in and out the streets, and alcoholism, and drugs. I mean, gone through programs, different ages, the different backgrounds, and some have theologies, and they come in thinking they know everything. And I remember at one time, I just kept getting into this area called prayer. We had a little calendar for every day, and a different saying, every day a different saying, and the next day, the saying said, prayer is work. And I kept looking at it, and I kept looking at it. I thought, how can prayer be work? Why would they call prayer work? Until one day, it dawned on me, every single time I kept going to prayer, I kept getting more tired, it kept getting more straining, and I realized that prayer is work. And here this night, I don't know where you find yourself, but prayer is not easy. Prayer is not just something that happens, and there's times, don't get me wrong, there's moments when there's a flow, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, when you're able to cry out. But for the majority, prayer is work. If you want to get a hold of the presence of God, it calls for this area called work. Nehemiah was a man of sacrifice. I've ran the homes now for about going on 6+ years. And in the early stages, when I ran the home, there was a little stage where I was going through. I was running the homes, and I was still working full time. And the pastor said, we're going to shift, and we're going to, you know, later on, we're going to change it. And I was working full time, installing carpets full time, running the home full time. I was getting stretched. And I was doing a job site, big, empty building, commercial building, laid out carpet. I was so tired, so drained. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, if there was ever a time in my life where I was so drained, it was that moment. And I remember my pastor called me. He said, hey, I'm going to pick you up. Let's go get something to eat. And I remember saying, man, I'm tired. I'm drained. you know, I'm gone. And he was on the phone with his pastor. He was on the phone with Pastor Herb. And I remember my pastor just laughing, right? Laughing. He was like, Felipe's tired. And look at him. And he told his, Pastor Herb, he says, you got a word for him? And I never forget these moments because of how, on an instinct, they have a word. And he put Pastor Herb on speaker. And he said, in one of the books that Pastor Sonny wrote, he said, there's three types of people. And he goes, those that, you know, think they know it all, they're super spiritual, and all they want to do is just pray, 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 and they don't want to do anything. There's another person. They just avoid work. They don't want to do anything. They just do bare minimum. They're just there. They're comfortable. And then he said there's another, a third person. He may not know everything. Says he tries. He may not know a lot of the spiritual area, but he's not afraid to work. He's not afraid to get his hands dirty. He said, give me that man. He said, I'll work with that man over the others. And he goes, that's who you are. You're not afraid to work. And at that moment, I said, okay, but how is this going to encourage me? I'm gone. I'm tired. I'm done. There's nothing in me right now. And I remember my pastor laughing at me and just saying, okay, that's it. You know, take off. But I never forget those moments because my pastor understood how much I could take. He understood how much I needed. And he understood that it takes work to build. And here this night, I don't know where you may find yourself. You may find yourself drained. You may find yourself physically drained, emotionally drained, spiritually drained. I mean, going through battles. We all go through battles and storms, families and friends and coworkers. Just here to encourage you, it takes work. I didn't stop 5-6 years ago, and I'm not stopping now. If anything, I want to do even more work. The second aspect I want to look into in rebuilding our spiritual walls is who he prayed to. And this is really important. We're going to look at who he prayed to, who Nehemiah prayed to, and not just who he prayed to, but I want to focus on how he prayed. This really matters because it paints a picture that Nehemiah knew who he was praying to. And here this night, I believe that too many times we don't really know the God that we're praying to. I believe Leonard Ravenhill in his past days, right before he passed away, he says, too many people don't know God. You ask young generations, you ask young people, they don't really know God. I mean, it's taken me years to know this area called prayer. It's taken me years to really establish my life where I'm able to say, no matter what happens, I know the Lord is with me. No matter what happens and what goes forth, I know the God that I serve. And I believe that Nehemiah knew this. He knew who he prayed to. And here this night is very vital. It's very important that we don't just approach prayer just casual. We don't just spend the same amount of time, or we don't just approach it in the same manner. But there has to be a shift in how we pray. There has to be, a holy boldness in how we ask the Lord. Because when you know who God is, when you know the God that rescued you, when you know the God that died for you, you're able to ask for a little bit more. You're able to ask with a little more boldness. You're able to come, the Bible says, to the throne of grace with a boldness because you know who you're praying to. And hear this night, I believe that we need to know who we're praying to. Nehemiah understood this. The Bible says in chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, he says, then I said, and look at how he starts. He knew who he was praying to. You ever talk to somebody and you can't share certain things? You can only confide in certain individuals because you know they're not going to tell everyone. Or you can't say certain things because you're afraid they're going to get their feelings hurt. Nehemiah wasn't concerned with none of that. Nehemiah was past, and he said, oh Lord God of heaven. He was saying, I know who you are. I know where you stand. I know what you do. He said, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant. The first thing that he did was exalt the name of the Lord. Listen, hear this now. When we come to prayer, I don't want you to bring your problems to prayer. I don't want you to bring excuses to prayer. We need to exalt the name of Jesus. That's the way to pray here this night. That's how you get results in the Lord. That's what shifts your mentality. That's what gives you a different attitude, because you know who your God is. That you're able to say, I don't care what's happening around me. The first thing that I'm doing is acknowledging who God is. The first thing that I'm doing is lifting up the name of the Most High God. Hear this now. There is no other God. There is no other statue of Buddha. There is no other. There was only one living God, and his name is Jesus. Amen. And that's how Nehemiah prayed. He didn't come with just any prayers, any wimpy prayers. He didn't say, oh God, if you can do this. He said, oh God, well maybe, you know I haven't been close to you lately. Then he goes on to say, God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. Have we been obeying his commands here this night? Some people say, I don't have to obey all the commands. I want, got a few seconds right here. I have my Bible ready. I didn't write it down, but I believe it's John 16. I'm going to find it for you. I'm going to read it, that scripture right from the Bible. I didn't give it to them. It's not on my notes, but I want to read that scripture because I like what it says. Many people that think about this and following the commands, it's a scripture that I like that speaks that this is the words of Jesus speaking. John chapter 14, verse 15. This is the Lord speaking. The words are in red. If you have your Bibles, they're in red. He says, if you love me, how many love Jesus? How many say I love Jesus, right? We all say I love Jesus. If you love me, obey my commandments. Amen. So some people say, well, we don't have to obey all of them. I'll break that down for me. Amen. Right? If you love me, obey my commands. There's a period right there, as they would say. Period. It's just the importance of obedience. If you love me, obey my commands, period. No comma, no question mark. No break this down in the Hebrew, you know. If you look that word up in the Mexican, it just says obey. There is no other breakdown. Okay, let's move on. Back to Nehemiah, back to who he prayed to. Nehemiah chapter 1, come back. Listen to my prayer, look down. He says, listen to my prayer. He was getting the Lord's attention. Now, I like what it says right here. It says, look down and see me praying night and day. How many prayed night and day? Wasn't that song by Kid Cudi? Day and night. I tossed it. All right, come back. I want to see how many are listening right there. Shame you guys. You guys were partying to that song. Man, you guys are old. The young generation doesn't know that one. But he was praying day and night, it says, for your people Israel. But right now I just want to focus on who he prayed to. And he was praying day and night because he knew there was a need. He knew who his God was. I want to touch on a couple of areas and I'm going to move over. But he knew as he was praying that one time wasn't enough. I mean, we see Daniel pray three times a day. We see Jesus separate himself often. He got away from his disciples. Even Jesus said, man, get away from me for a moment. You guys are too much right now. I got to get into this area that's called prayer. And at times we have to do that. You have to separate from your family. You have to separate from your loved ones. You have to separate from friends. You have to say, you know what? It's a time out right now. I need to get into this area called prayer. Not just in the morning, not just in the evening, but throughout the day at nighttime. Build your prayer closet. Build those spiritual walls of prayer. Because that's how Nehemiah was able to get a hold of God. That's how he was able to do what he did. We're still speaking about him 2,000 years later. I always say, what are people speaking about you? What are others going to say about who you are? That matters as we build our spiritual prayer life here this night. Nehemiah understood that it wasn't just one time. It wasn't enough. I mean, we didn't have enough in the world. We didn't have enough. And to this day, there's times when we don't have enough. We want a little bit more. We want a little bit extra. I want to speak to those here this night that want one more prayer meeting. I want to speak to those here this night that want to read your Bible just one more time. I want to speak to those here this night that want to go evangelize just one more time. I want to speak to those here this night that want a little bit more of Jesus. Are there any that want a little bit more of Jesus here this night? Because that's what Nehemiah did. He knew who he was praying to. But I believe the problem is that too many times We don't know who we're praying to. We only spend so much time, limited time. We go through days, we go through motions, weeks, months. It's already May. Have we grown spiritually in half a year? Are you where you want to be at by now? I mean, you know, everybody's saying, when are the church doors going to open up? Let me just go ahead and say it right now. Are you going to show up to prayer? I'm not, that's the true time of service, is prayer time. Amen. And the Bible says the tongue has the power of life and death. Those that love it will eat its fruit. I don't want to speak any further. I just want to say, are you going to show up to prayer? Or are you going to be comfortable? You know, okay, they're still going Facebook Live. I'll just be here. I mean, that's okay. You know, we do this to get connected, but are you going to come to the house of prayer? Are you going to rebuild those spiritual prayer walls that the enemy is knocking, trying to tear down houses, trying to tear down families, tearing down the church? But do you know who you're praying to? That's what matters. I'm going to skip this area. I'm going to share this. I read this this morning. When we depend on organization, we get what organization can give, and that is something. When we depend on education, we get what education can give, and that is something. When we depend on money, how many depend on money? We get what money can give, and that is something. When we depend on preaching, we get what preaching can give, and that is only something. But when we depend on prayer, we get what prayer can give, and that is everything. Why? Because God is our supplier. It is only through prayer that you can get everything. It is only through prayer that God unleashes His supernatural, unfolds His giving power. It is only through prayer. But my friend, hear this line. How many are spending that time in prayer? How many are coming back and saying, you know what? I have to confess as Nehemiah confessed. How many are saying, you know what? I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord night and day, day and night. I don't care how many time it takes. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care. I'm going to turn the TV off for just a little moment, and I'm going to get into this area that's called prayer. Because that's what Nehemiah did. He knew his God. It's very vital on how we pray. Not just knowing why we pray, but knowing how we pray for many reasons. There's a saying that goes, the true meaning of the gospel is not what a person says about it, but how it changes his or her life. Has the gospel changed your life here this night? There's another saying that goes, you can't starve a man that's feeding on God's promises. I don't care what you're going through. When you're feeding yourself on God's promises through this area that's called prayer, you're able to come out victorious. You're able to come out a little bit different. You're able to still rejoice through the trial because you've been in an area called prayer. But how many are able to say, I've been in that area before? I've been in that battleground. The old saying is true. The victory is won in the prayer closet long before we come to any battle. I had to win this victory in my prayer closet long before I came up here. Days of fasting, days of prayer, trying to read, trying to study through the midst of everything. I mean, I don't know where I'm at in my Vetti homework. Praise the Lord. But there's so much that I know can be done through prayer. The last thing that I want to share, the last aspect of this area, is not just who prayed, not just who he prayed to, but who he prayed for. The last aspect I want to share is just who he prayed for. Verse 2. And then I'm going to finish off if the worship team can make their way. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 2 says, I asked them about the, I'm going to start off where it says, let me just go ahead and read that one. One of my brothers came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. Translation, right? Let me translate this into modern news. I asked them how things are going with the COVID-19 virus in West Dallas. in Chicago, in California. I asked them if anybody is still praying in their own houses, even though the church is closed. I asked them, even though there's a virus going on, are people still reading their Bibles? I asked them. Nehemiah asked them how the Jews were doing, and here this night I ask you, how are we doing here this night? Because God has always been alive. God is still on the throne. He hasn't moved, the Bible says. He sits in position. I didn't mention this, the first point, but what was able to get Nehemiah's attention is he was a man in position. So many times there's men and women not in position. And that's why I congratulate you if you're making your way back. And I salute you if you're there and you're wanting to make your way back. But listen, we must be in position to be able to make a difference, to be able to see the need. We need to stay in position to answer the call of God. Nehemiah stayed in position. God has always been in position. He's looking to always rescue. He's looking to always redeem. He's always looking for someone that's calling upon his name. Nehemiah understood it wasn't about himself any longer. He started off by saying, I confess that me and my family have sinned. Listen, he didn't do any wrong. He was in the comfort of his own home. He was in the palace. He was in luxury. It was God's people that was suffering. And here this night, there are still men and women, children are suffering here this night. But my question is, does that affect you? Does that still stir you up at night? Or are we just conformed to what the world has to offer? Are we just conformed to what TV has to offer? Are we just conformed with our own lives that we're not stirred any longer with the need that is out there? Nehemiah was willing to lay it all down. He was willing to let it all go. 8 years ago was the first time that the call of God came upon my life. That I know the Lord called me. I was saved, transformed in one service. That's all it took. God rescued me. He took away the desires. I was sharing with somebody. I haven't said a cuss word in over 10 years. I can't cuss if you paid me to. It's something that the Lord did. He came into my life and he rescued me, redeemed me, cleansed me. He took away the desires of the world to get high, to drink, to smoke. He took away the desires, but he didn't stop there. He came back again. And I understood in order for me to serve the Lord, it would have to be I give everything or I can't go forward. I give everything or I take it all back. And I knew God had called me. He asked me to do 3 things. He said, I need you for now. Let go of your family, let go of your friends, and let go of your life. I was able to say yes after a while. I was able to come to Victory Outreach Milwaukee. There was a Victory Outreach flag that was planted upon this city that I was able to come in and get connected, to get worked with. Some of you people need to get worked with a little bit more. How many are grateful that you're being worked with? I mean, I could share a little bit, but it took years of me getting worked with, years of getting pulled in and discipled, getting pulled in and corrected and rebuked and corrected and rebuked all tight. I didn't even know what was going on after a while. But I know I was just getting poured into. I was getting poured into because there was a need. And then God stepped into my life again. I prayed a prayer for about a year. I said, God, I want the vision. I hear about it. Victory Outreach International. I said, God, I really want to live that vision. And I remember when my pastor called my wife and I, he said, I got a question to ask you guys. I'm going to go over the house. I remember that day like it was yesterday, right there in your houses, if you could stand with me. Wherever you find yourself in your living room, in your rooms, if you're driving, pull over. And I remember our pastor came and my wife was saying, why is he coming? He started cleaning and making everything nice. And he said, hey, I got a question for you guys. Only if you're ready. He says, this and this is going on. I need you to run the home. I didn't think about it. I said, amen. There's nothing to think about. My life is not my own. Little knowing that the Lord showed me later on, it was an answered prayer of hands-on, really seeing the vision come to pass. You see, it wasn't for myself any longer. It was to try and get others across. And it's been years of working with men, years of trying to build spiritual walls and spiritual people, trying to build over and over and over. But it was one thing that I never lacked in, and it was the area called prayer. You see, prayer is the most important ministry, but the most ignored. Prayer yields the greatest reward, and there's only one condition, that all you have to do is ask. Do you have a need here this night? Well, then I ask, have you prayed? Where there is a loved one that needs to be saved, I ask you, approach the throne of grace with a boldness. Nehemiah said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. He said, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people. A people he'd never had met yet. He was willing to lay it all down for someone that he didn't know. That's what prayer makes you do. That's what the vision makes you do. That's what a relationship with the Lord gives you, a courage and a strength to do the impossible, to accomplish what someone says cannot be accomplished. It was through prayer and the vision that one man was able to say yes to God. That's why we're over 30 countries and over 300 churches all over the world, because of a praying man that was able to lay it all down. That the next man did it. That the next man did it. That the next man did it. Laid it all down for someone they didn't know. And here this night, that's why we're able to hear the gospel. That's why you're there, able to hear the good news, because someone laid down their life because they saw the need. And here this night, I ask you if you see the need. Because if you do, it's going to call for something called prayer. As we worship the Lord, we're going to sing a song. And right there where you're at, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to open your heart. And as they worship, I want the Lord to minister to you right there where you find yourself. Right there where you're at, close your eyes, lift your hands. And I want you to get focused and just think about what God wants to do within your life.
Yes.
I want you to know that God wants to do great things in and through your life. I want you to know that you are special in the Lord's eyes here this night. Wherever you find yourself, God has a special calling, a unique calling that only He can bring across. I want to let you know that no matter what is going on, God can forgive. That no matter what is going on, God can always rescue. God can always restore. And all He's looking for is a praying man, a praying woman. All He's looking for is someone who's going to say yes to Him, someone that's going to see the need. I challenge you here this night, in your houses and in your homes, ask of the Lord. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Here this night, go ahead and grab with the Lord. Grab with the Lord with all.